Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed. My faith is growing stronger, and I'm learning how to be an overcomer. If you think, well, I can't see how to get out of this, that's just something you can't see. Doesn't mean there's no way. Huh? God sees clearly exactly what to do to clear it up, to fix it, to get out, to overcome. And if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us and He'll show us. If we'll ask Him, if we'll seek, if we'll knock, He'll answer. He'll cause us to find. He'll open it up to us. Father, we thank You that You are so good, so faithful to do these things. You're our Father. You care about us. You love us and You take care of us. And we thank You for that. We expect that. We know it's Your will and Your plan. And so we ask for the utterance for today, for the fresh manna, our daily bread for now, the direction, the light, the strength, the answers, exactly what You know we need. Get glory to Yourself in victory after victory, in good testimonies, and a light shining in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We have been on our series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. The just shall live by faith. And so in every area of life, if you say, well, I need some physical healing, you need some faith.
Yes.
With the faith, you can get the healing.
Yes.
Are y'all with me? Well, I need some money. I need to pay my bills. You need some faith.
Yes.
With the faith, you can get the money.
Yes.
You can get the answers.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Don't just focus on the need. Focus on the answer.
Yes.
Don't just focus on the problem. Don't just focus on the bills. Focus on the provider.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen.
Don't just focus on the disease. Focus on the healer.
Yes.
And as your faith comes in, you begin to, the problem begins to look smaller and smaller and smaller, and your answer bigger and bigger.
Yes.
The Bible said, magnify the Lord.
Yes.
Let us exalt His name.
Amen.
Together. So despise and belittle your problem.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You say, $1,000? You are nothing before God.
That's right.
Huh? $100,000?
No. No.
Nothing before God.
Nothing.
Disease?
Nothing.
Cancer?
Nothing.
AIDS?
Nothing.
You are nothing in front of God. You are nothing before God. There is no such thing as impossible, incurable, can't do it with God.
Amen.
So no, it's a, don't feed on the problem, because then your fear and your faith in the problem just gets bigger and bigger. And so that's why you'll find here at Faith School, we just don't spend time talking about how bad the problem is.
Amen.
We are focused on faith.
Amen.
Faith, not in the problem, faith in God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I already feel better about it. How about you? We've been giving one by one 30 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it out loud. Abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always
God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision.
Is always
God's will
for me. Every day of your life as a child of God, God's will is that you have plenty.
Yes.
Plenty to eat, plenty to wear, plenty money,
yes.
Plenty
yes.
to give,
yes.
plenty to be a blessing, plenty
yes.
to do His will, plenty.
Yes.
Abundance. That's what Jesus said. You know, He said it's the thief that's coming to steal something from you, kill something in your life, destroy. But Jesus said, but I'm come not to take anything from you. I'm come that you may have, the Amplified says, have and enjoy life to the full until it overflows. That's abundant life. Abundant life is to the full and it doesn't stop till it overflows. Abundance is more than enough. More than. So we're down to reason number 18 in our study, and that is that we are sure abundant provisions always God's will for us all, because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, how do you know it from that? Because we've taken the time, and if you'd have been here with us, you would know that. If you hadn't been here with us, go online, faithschool.org, and it's all there. We've spent time, multiple times, in Deuteronomy 28, in Leviticus 26, and other places, and we have found out without question, lack is curse. Hmm? Poverty and lack and not having enough and running out, drought, famine, loss of crops, loss of herds, loss of investments, including every sickness, every disease, part of the curse. And according to Galatians 3:13, anybody know, remember? Well, maybe you hadn't been with us, so go there. Galatians 3, if you'd look at it, Galatians 3, we usually start in verse 7. Galatians 3:7 says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. If you have faith in Jesus, then you are made by being born again and born into the family of God. You're born into the covenant, and you are a child of Abraham." And he said, verse 9, "So then they which be of faith are what?
Blessed.
Blessed with faithful Abraham." Have you read about Abraham and his life? What kind of life he lived? What God did for him? Was God involved in Abraham's life?
Yes.
Oh, he led him, directed him exactly where to be, when and how. He provided for him and made him rich, made him one of the wealthiest persons in their family in the whole part of the world. He protected him. He restored his wife to him a couple of times. He restored his nephew and their family and spared them. God's blessing in Abraham's life caused him to have a very different life than most people and a wonderful good life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why am I talking about it? Because if you are of faith in Christ, then you are also blessed with faithful Abraham. Wonder if that blessing do the same thing today that it used to do. Or has it run down in power or weakened or run out of time? No, the things of God don't do that. That blessing that worked in Abraham's life every day of his life, that brought them their answers to prayer, that all the things we just described, that blessing is just as powerful and present in the life of every believer, but many won't cooperate with it. Many choose to believe that they're cursed and don't know why, but they talk curse and they yield to curse. And so the blessing is here. It belongs to them. It's ready to work in their life. But they keep going, "Yeah, nothing good ever happens to me. I just don't know why. I take a step forward and get knocked back three. And nobody will help me. And nothing goes good for me." See, every time a Christian does that, they're pushing the blessing away. And they're pushing it off of them. Because it's trying to catch you and do something for you. Surely, goodness and mercy is after me. Is that right?
Yes.
When? Not just when you get to heaven. All the days of my life. Well, we need to let it catch us.
Amen.
Huh? Come on. So go ahead, class. Say, "Come on, blessing.
Come on.
I'm here.
Yes.
I'm accepting.
I'm receiving.
I'm receiving.
Come on, blessing.
In verse 13, he said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that, or we might say in order that, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We camped on this some earlier this week. How did he redeem us from the curse? He was made a curse. Isn't that what it said right here? He was made a curse for us. He took our place. That was connected with him being made sin. The Bible said he was made sin. We saw in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God has made him to be sin. Again, same words, for us. Him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, who should be cursed? Not the righteous. Huh? Not the believing. Not the faithful. Not the obedient. It's the disobedient. It's the rebellious. It's the defiant. It's the enemies of God who should be judged, punished, cursed. Well, all of us had sinned and come short of the glory of God and made wrong choices and transgressed different of His laws and statutes ignorantly or knowingly. And so then we deserved the curse. Oh, but thank God. The one who knew no sin came in our place and took our place and took our sin and took our curse. And paid a terrible price to pay for it. So how could it ever be God's will that what Jesus endured and paid for still happen in our lives? That the curse still work in us when the Lord went to such lengths and paid such a price to redeem us of the curse? If He redeemed us from the curse, does He want the curse in your life or not? How could He want the curse in your life if He redeemed you from it? I mean, if you see Jesus in your mind hanging on the cross, being made sin for your sin, judgment and punishment, and if you look up, you know, theoretically speaking, and you say, Jesus, do you want me saved? Is it your will for me to be saved? Well, what's He doing there? Right? What's He doing? Well, if you see Him strapped to the scourging post and being beaten and beaten, and the Bible said, by His stripes we are healed, do you look at Him and go, Lord, do you want me healed or not? Is it your will for disease to be? Well, what's He doing? Why is He there? And the Bible said, the chastisement of our peace, the punishment of our peace. So it is not His will that you have any kind of depression, any kind of mental, limitations or anything like that. And the Bible said that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor so that you through His poverty could be poor. Huh? Why did I say that? Because you got millions of people that'll try to tell you, well, we just don't know what God's doing and how He's working everything out. But you know, God is in control. And they're implying that every bad thing that's happening anywhere. No. Oh yeah, God is in control. Then He's in control of people going to hell. That's His choice. Huh? We can't have it both ways. No, we read in Peter, He is not willing that any should perish. Then what? A lot of stuff is going on that's not God's will, that doesn't please Him. If it's in the curse, if the Bible ever revealed that it is curse, there's no way it could ever be God's will for your life. No way. And now I know it's happening in a lot of people's lives, but no, it's not God's will. Go with me to John, if you would, the ninth chapter. And this will maybe help some folks that have struggled about this. In the ninth chapter of John, in Jesus' ministry, when he was here on the earth, in verse 1, Jesus passed by and he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him and said, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now you got to remember who this is that's saying this. These are Jewish men, right? These are men that have been around the synagogue. They have heard the reading of the law and the prophets. And when they see this man that's blind, he was born blind, they ask Jesus the question because they want to know the answer. And notice how they framed it. Which one of them sinned? Not was sin involved. Come on, y'all. Do y'all see this?
Yes.
They said, so they're assuming this is a bad thing. It's a curse. And it's the result of disobedience and sin. They're assuming this. Somebody said, "Well, that's a wrong assumption." Well, no. Why did they assume it? Where'd they get that idea? Can you see that? The law, right? They got it from Deuteronomy. They got it from Leviticus. Because the curse describes all these things. And so they just want to, they're not asking, was it because of sin? In their mind, they already know. This is a curse. This is punishment for some kind of sin. But the question is, whose sin was it? Was it the parents? Or, I mean, this is, I don't know how this could be, but he was born blind. So how did he was born blind for his sin? This is sin before he was born. And this is why this is in the Bible. This is why this is in the New Testament, because the Lord wanted to answer these questions. And so Jesus said, neither one. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. Now, that's the answer to the question. And you could put a period there. You need to remember that scripture division and punctuation was not in the original scriptures. This is added by the translators. And so people put them the way they think. Actually, the Young's literal translation has a semicolon at the end of verse 3 instead of a period. And I'll tell you, you know, what difference that can make as we look at it. But you need to understand, when Jesus says neither one, neither the man nor his parents, that he was born blind, does that answer their question? It does. That's the answer to the question. But then he goes on to say, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And a lot of translations try to end it right there. Actually, that's what I said. Young's literal, which is one of the best around, doesn't put a period there. He words it like this. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works. Can you see that? Of him that sent me, while it is day, the night comes, when no man can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Here's a question. If he's saying, I must work the works of him that sent me, have they seen the works of God yet?
No.
They have not. They've seen the man born blind.
Right.
Can you see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
No. Why are you going into this, Brother Keith? Because the curse was there. Being born blind is a curse.
Yes.
It's not a blessing.
Right.
But do you look at the people and go, well, man, wonder they must be evil, bad people. No, this Jesus said this is not the result of their sin or the man's sin.
Right.
Does that mean that these three adults have never sinned?
No.
No. But here's what I'm saying. You can have the curse in your life not because of personal transgression, but because of ignorance.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all with me. Yes. Not knowing you've been redeemed. Right. Not knowing who you are. Right. Not knowing what to believe or believe in some lie like this. God wants me to be this way. He did this so he could get glory out of it. Now hold on. God made you sick so he could heal you. Huh? Now people believe that. People believe that. Listen to Galatians 2:18. You don't have to turn there. But Galatians 2:18 says, if I build the things again which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Listen to the God's Word translation. If I build something I've torn down, I admit I was wrong to tear it down. Huh? If you build it and then you tear it down, well, which one was right? Right? Well, I built it so I could tear it down. Well, then you wanted it torn down. You shouldn't have built it to begin with. People say, well, no, it's just God's ways are too high for you to understand. No. God, you got to include that with everything, and people do. Are you going to say, God made me a sinner so he could save me?
No.
Huh?
No.
Then you're saying sin was his will.
No.
Sin was his plan. Sin was his choice. He knew there was going to be sin.
Right?
But he made provision for it. And no, the sin was the occasion of God being glorified, but God was not glorified by the sin. The sin is a bad thing. He was glorified in the salvation. And the same thing with healing. Sickness is not a good thing. It'll never be a good thing. It can be an occasion for God to be glorified, but it's in the healing that he's glorified, not in the sickness. Poverty is a curse. Lack, it can never be the perfect will of God. It can never please God. It can be an occasion for God to be glorified, but he's glorified in your deliverance, in your provision, in your victory, not in the poverty and the lack. God is not glorified by the works of the devil.
That's right.
The works of God glorify God.
Yes.
The works of the devil glorify the devil. Curse doesn't glorify God. And you know, he said multiple times in Ezekiel, he said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. He says, repent. Why will you die? Repent and live. Isn't that what we saw in 2 Peter?
Yes.
I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance.
Yes.
Then sin is not God's will.
Right.
And then all the curse that resulted in death from sin couldn't be God's will.
No.
Disease is not God's will. Amen. Deformity is not God's will.
Right.
Poverty is not God's will.
No.
Now people are trying to say it everywhere, but it's not true. Notice what he said in John 9. I must work the works of him that sent me. And so, you know, after that, he spoke. He made clay of the spittle and he put it in the blind man's eyes, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, verse 7, and washed and came seeing. And verse 8, the people that knew him, they saw him and they were amazed. They said, how are your eyes open? And he told them what happened. Are they seeing the works of God now?
Yes.
Yeah. They didn't see the works of God until they saw the healing.
Right.
A similar situation is described here in John with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And again, Jesus told one of the sisters, he said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Well, they hadn't seen the glory of God yet. When did they see the glory of God? When Jesus said, arise, is that right? Come out of there. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. They saw the glory of God. No question about that. Now skip down to the end of the chapter and there's just more understanding about this. Jesus answered their question. Who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus said neither one. Not the man nor his parents. Then he went on to say, but that the works of God should be shown, I've got to work the works. Yes. Hallelujah. And he did. Mm-hmm. And they did see the glory of God. And in the end of the chapter here, Jesus, verse 39, he said, for judgment I'm come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Now see, this is all in connection with the man born blind that's now healed and seeing. And some of the Pharisees that were with him, they heard these words and they said, you know, sarcastically, are we blind also? Are you saying we're blind? He said, well, now that you brought it up. Jesus said to them, now get this, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. No, the glory of God was not seen in the curse. It was seen in the miracle. It was seen in the healing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And no, God is not, you know, making people sinners so he can save them. He's not making people sick. No, he's not. So he can heal them. He's not making people poor. So he can deliver them or meet their needs. These things are in the earth because of sin, because of the curse, because of death. But God is glorified when we come out of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we realize we've been redeemed.
Yes.
From the curse of the law. When we realize the blessing now belongs to us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I don't have to stay in sin. I don't have to stay in any kind of bondage. I don't have to stay sick. I can be healed. I don't have to stay broke. My needs can be met, and I can even come up to where God's using me to help other people. Now, doesn't this glorify God more than us being needy and us failing and being defeated? Certainly, certainly, certainly. Somebody said out loud, Christ has redeemed me.
From the curse of the law,
and the blessing of Abraham
is mine.
The blessing of the Lord
is on me.
Everywhere I go, everything I do, the favor of the Lord surrounds me. And good things, good things, good things are happening for me today. And we're out of time. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.